This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays. With a refreshing strawberry lemonade twist, it's Natterdays.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back, a College World Series title. Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
You still whining and complaining about all these game times this weekend?
I mean, I'm sure it'll be brought up at some point.
No, I mean, just in general. I mean, this wasn't like a radio bit yesterday. You were generally...
I was.
...upset because there's not a night game.
I was. And that's really the only thing. It had nothing to do with wanting all three to be night games or having it on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That stuff didn't bother me. Just the fact that there's not going to be one night game was the one thing that bothered me. Like that was troubling. It's kind of like in football season, if you're a really good football team and you're going up against a lot of really good teams in the SEC and not one of them is going to be a night game in your stadium, it's kind of like, really? It's like you should have at least one. At least one that you can enjoy, because everyone loves a night game. Night games are so much more fun. So, the atmosphere is so much more electric. It just makes too much sense. So,
but these things are built for TV.
I understand.
It's all about TV.
I understand. In fact, if it wasn't for TV, could we pretty much guarantee that almost all of these games would be at night and all across the board if it wasn't for television? Yeah,
probably.
Yeah. I mean, I would think so, too, but... That's the name of the game now is television, and I guess the payoff is you're on ESPN game one Saturday morning. So take that for whatever it's worth, but you get to be on the main channel Saturday morning at 11 a.m. when that game starts. So, yeah, I'm sure that that won't be my main beef this morning, but it'll certainly be one of my beefs that I've been having this morning. In fact, I got a few of them. This one might, because yesterday might have been one of the more frustrating afternoons I ever went through in my life. And I may just vent about it, spend a lot of time on it.
So life jumped up and just grabbed you.
Yes, just so many things going wrong, and for no particular reason other than just, hey, let's all laugh at John and watch him struggle this afternoon.
It's a great conspiracy against me.
That's how I felt. It certainly felt that way. I don't know if it's true, which it's probably not, but I'm just going to go ahead and assume it's true so that way I don't have to take accountability or responsibility for my actions.
The NCAA and ESPN hates me.
Yep. Always want to see me down. But that's what it was yesterday afternoon. So it fits perfectly into What's Your Beef Wednesday today.
Well, better than the day my buddy had. I was having lunch with a friend of mine yesterday. He got that.
Is that what the problem was? Is he was frustrated he had to eat lunch with you?
No, worse than that.
Oh, man.
Let's see if I can find the right deal.
Worse than that, he got a letter from the dreaded IRS yesterday.
Oh, yeah. That's like the one place that, you know, I usually like and enjoy receiving mail, but that's something I get.
The dreaded IRS, I said.
And what was the letter from the dreaded
IRS?
They'd
like to help him review his tax records.
Ah, isn't that called an audit?
Yeah.
I believe, yeah.
I'd like to help him, and they're not going to charge him anything to do it.
Well, what a great bunch of people.
Now, the end result may be costly, but anyway, he was not happy.
Have you ever been audited? Not that we're getting into real personal news or anything
You know. I don't cut corners on that stuff because it's not worth the going through the hassle of being audited.
No.
Hey, you could take this extra mileage or let's just pay everything we owe and maybe a little bit more. And maybe that will keep us from being audited.
Maybe they'll keep them off our backs.
I would just rather pay a little more and not be audited.
Yeah. That may be one of the worst things that's like if you just ask people in general, because I think everyone has that problem, but everyone is fearful of that ever happening because every one of us have to pay taxes. At least we're supposed to be paying taxes.
All right.
Yeah. And so if everyone dreads that letter and if they ever got it, because my fear would be, so I think I do everything right and I don't really cut corners. I get it anyways. And then, my life really gets turned upside down by getting a letter from them.
I feel like I'm one of the one percenters because I think there's only about 1% of us out here that are actually paying taxes. The rest of you guys. Oh,
so you're saying you're above us all then?
No, I'm saying I'm broke because all I do is pay taxes.
Well, that's okay, Tommy. I mean, the government's doing great things, right? I mean, you love the government. The government does
love
a good
how they
job.
Invest our money,
I'm telling you, man. It's in all the good things. $20,000 for a toilet seat. You know, it's all It's all great that what the taxpayers have to pay in.
So at least as bad as your day may have been.
His is worse.
And my day may have been. My day wasn't bad yesterday at all. We didn't have the IRS to deal with. Yes.
And I am thankful for that, that we did not have to deal with the IRS. I tell you what I did have to deal with this morning, though, is this dadgum fog. Have you driven through this out here?
Well, no, I walked to work.
Well, I never know because you just show up. I don't know what you do to get here. I didn't think
Nick Mason's helicopter picked me up.
I was about to say, maybe you had the casino
Nick Mason's helicopter could not have flown in this.
No.
No, it's in the River Valley. I don't know what it's like in Northwest Arkansas, but it is soup this morning.
I'm telling you. Just making the short drive.
It's not soup, it's stew.
Just making the short drive from my apartment. I'm like, man, I'm going to have to actually turn on my fog lights for this. Mm-hmm. This is just like I'm driving through an entire cloud of dust. But it's fog out there. So if you're driving in the River Valley area, please be safe. Yeah. The sun has come out, so it's a little lighter outside. But this morning when it was dark, yeah, it looked pretty bad, too. Yeah. So, and on top of that, though, and also seeing that it seems like the waters are starting to lower themselves and you're starting to kind of get life back to, or trying to get in the process of getting life back to normal here in the River Valley area for sure.
The receding waters are now revealing the devastation, though, is the problem. Yeah, the lower waters are opening up roadways and they're making, just the everyday getting around easier. But now those that are greatly affected are having to come to terms with the reality of what's happened here. And I'm telling you, some of these homes, there's a liquor store on Highway 22 in Rogers. It's been like up over the roof line, like to the roof line for days. Spraying the bulldozer, man. Yeah. I mean, you're not getting that thing right again.
Yeah. I mean, because what could possibly be on that building that's still like 100% good to go?
It's a block building. Man, I mean, just tell you that you know what that smell, that stink of just standing water, flood water. Ugh.
I'd say the worst type of water you can have.
Yeah, you'll never. Well, there's maybe one worse, but. But yeah, you'll never get that out.
No. Well, in fact, when you're seeing the pictures of the water starting to secede and all that, I didn't even realize it, but now it makes sense. Like even where I take Rowdy to go to the vet, I mean, where the animal hospital is over here, I mean, that was underwater too. Yep. So, I mean, it's just, the homes and the businesses and all of that starting to really see the damages from it.
It's been very, very inconvenient. People, I mean, I've got friends that have old neighbors from an old neighborhood living with them for till they can get back in their home, and it's just been a trying time. And now you got the reality of the cleanup, and this is going to be the emotionally hard time and the financially difficult time, because how many people had flood insurance that were affected? Maybe like 10%, 20% maybe at best. I mean, I don't know, but I'm just telling you, most of these people are financially going to have to rely on some assistance, and like we said last week, you're going to have to be relying on the federal government, and that may take months for FEMA assistance.
I don't know what you're talking about, Tommy. The government's quick.
Yeah, I'm from the government. I'm here to help you.
Yeah.
Hey, they're scariest quick. Words ever.
Hey, they're quick to contact you if your taxes are messed up, though. Yeah. They're quick on that trigger. So,
it's going to be hard on a lot of folks having to deal with this.
Yeah. So,
but I'll tell you what. Never been prouder to be from Fort Smith and this the way. And I'm going to tell you, it's not just Fort Smith. Fort Smith's been great, but you look, because this isn't an event that's only affected the River Valley. This is anyone along the river. I mean, I know those listening in Northwest Arkansas have had a lot of tornadoes and severe thunderstorm type weather, tornado type weather, but not having to deal with flood because the river doesn't go through there. But this is Fort Smith. This is right down the river. Scranton and south of there, but Russellville, Dardanelle area. I mean, we're seeing it right now in Little Rock and Pine Bluff and, just the effects of it. So this is an Arkansas problem. So I saw one of the meteorologists down in Little Rock had put a deal on that. If you took the water space of the Arkansas River, the way it's backed up right now and the way it has been, it would be the 17th largest lake. Lake Arkansas would be the 17th largest lake in the United States right now.
17th?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's pretty big.
Yeah. Good grief. See, those are the types of things
like
that puts into perspective.
200-something thousand square miles. Keep in mind, Lake Washita is our biggest lake. It's like 65,000 square miles in our state. Hmm.
Jeez, that's insane.
Yeah. That's how much water is, just with the water out of its banks, how much more surface area it is covering.
Yeah.
And that's just in Arkansas. That didn't include Tulsa and, you know, the area from the border up through Tulsa and, you know, the Keystone Dam up there. That, you know, that, the devastation in Oklahoma is just as bad.
Yeah. Well, I don't think people will mind a dry summer after dealing with as much water and rain
that
they've
had
to deal with.
We'll all be complaining about drought here in about 6 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the way the weather goes here in the great state. But, yeah, it's in the process of getting back to normal, though.
So, busy weekend coming up. Baseball starts Saturday morning. Kind of a weird deal to have an 11. I mean, we're used to kind of early games on Sunday, but never Saturday, never to start a series. So, this is going to kind of be a weird deal this weekend just to kick things off and being at the ballpark, you know, mid-morning kind of time. Kind of a weird thing for a lot of people.
Yeah, but I still think that it'll be fine. I mean,
I don't have a problem with it.
I think it's just a matter of people, instead of having to get there at noon, you're getting there at 11. Because we've seen 12 o'clock, you know, first pitches.
I think some of the reaction yesterday was a little bit overblown, but it's just because people want to have the party atmosphere of a night game.
Well, it's the part, but it's just like that in college football, too. I mean, night games just... they're just better. I mean, people enjoy night games
well,
more.
Because it's easier as a fan to sit in the evening temperatures without the sun. It's more enjoyable for me as a fan to not have the sun beating down on me and having to worry about, do I have enough sunscreen on for 9 innings of baseball? It's just hot.
Yeah.
You know, even when it's only going to be 80 degrees, the sun beating down on you is still hot.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, a light lager brewed with a phenomenal strawberry lemonade flavor that's perfect for bringing the fun to every occasion. The new Natural Light Natterdays.
Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Go back to the phone lines. Danny is in Russellville. What's going on, Danny?
Good morning, guys. You know, we really haven't hit, probably in the last 3 to 4 weeks, we've hit and missed. Got some timely hits last weekend, but if Casey Martin and Kerstad get hot, and a few other players that could carry us into the College World Series and a national championship. Because our pitching has been pretty good. Ty made a good point yesterday.
No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
He actually does make some good points. And I don't normally listen at that time of day because
neither do us.
They're competing against Rush Limbaugh, but I did yesterday.
Now, hang on. Are they really competing with Rush Limbaugh?
Well,
let's break that statement down. Is Ty and Phil, I mean, I love Ty and Phil. I listen every day, but are they really competing with Rush Limbaugh? El Rushbo?
Well, there's no competition there. But he made a point. He did. Have they announced the starter for game two? Because he was saying, well, is it going to be Connor Nolan or is it going to be Wicklander? So has that been decided yet?
It hasn't been officially decided.
Fake controversy.
It hasn't been officially decided. But when we were talking with Matt Hobbs yesterday, he alluded to the fact that Isaiah Campbell will get to start game one. So I would assume that it would be Patrick Wicklander getting the start in game two, just like it would be treated like any other normal SEC series during the regular season.
Well, Ty made a point that, you know, Connor Nolan's been pitching pretty good the last few games. And anyway, I feel okay with either one of them if we hit. I'm going to get my beef in here. A couple weeks ago, I was out west in the once great state of California.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent a day hiking at Yosemite, and by the time we got back to our hotel, probably 5:30, 5:45, and I said, all right, the Cardinals are on ESPN tonight. So I turn on the television. It's in the seventh inning. You know, I mean, how do those people stand it out there? All the good TV's over with by 9 o'clock.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I was going to bed early because everything I watch is over with, you know. And it's pretty bad when you get excited about $3.67 gas. I mean, they like stick it to you out there, Tommy.
where I went on vacation a week or two ago, it's $5.78 a gallon.
Oh, my gosh. I did see $4.99 at this gouge place in Nevada, but... most of it was $4, a little over, whatever.
Did you see a lot of pickup trucks out there?
Everything's high out there.
Oh, my God. But you know what? California, I mean, Yosemite is beautiful, and Sequoia, it's just wonderful. But you know, that it's so expensive out there.
I've always been told going to see the Redwoods is like a must-do thing. I've got a buddy of mine that goes every year. He takes grandkids. He says it's because his dad took him when he was young. He said that seeing the Redwoods is like a gotta-do thing.
The actual biggest tree in the world, the General Sherman at Sequoia National Park.
Yeah.
We only got to go one day because the second day they was expecting like 8 to 10 inches of snow. So you don't know what you're getting in California. It could be hot.
Yeah.
It could be.
Hope they had a permit.
But anyway, guys, thanks for taking my call, and you have a good day.
All right. I appreciate it, Danny, as always. That's one thing I'm glad we don't have, because remember when we talked about beefs that you could have every single day, like airports and whatnot? Mm-hmm. I feel like, at least right now, knock on wood, gas prices aren't to the point where, because that was like forever. Everyone was just always complaining about gas prices there when it was like $3.50 a gallon. Yeah. It's hard to remember back when that was I remember I was in college driving. Luckily, I had a Mercury Cougar that didn't take up a lot of gas. But now I don't really have that, and I have a truck, and
it takes up a lot of gas.
I'd probably have to sell it if the gas ever gotten back up to $4 a gallon. Tommy would be nice enough to give me a raise.
It will. Well, it probably ought to get that Mercury Cougar back.
You know? Yeah, yeah. Hey, it was. You know what? It was like driving around a pregnant roller skate, but it certainly did the job.
Well, you live about a mile from the studio.
Yeah,
I think a moped or a bicycle would work fine for you.
I'd rather do a bicycle than a moped. But I don't know, with that fog this morning, I'd get smoked out there. Yeah. So I don't know. But thanks for the call, Danny, and talking about that. All right, are we ready for this? Are we ready for this morning? I guess we are.
Ooh.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Eddie is in Clarksville. Good morning, Eddie.
Good morning, gentlemen. And good morning to this great fan base. As we're getting ready for what Eddie from Clarksville calls the Rumble at Bomb Stadium against two heavyweights of the SEC Western Division. And it's fixing to take place Saturday at Bomb Stadium. What a thriller of a series, as they call the great Don King, the great boxing promoter of the International Boxing Federation, promoted many great fights. And they had one against Muhammad Ali and Smoking Joe. Well, this is what this is about. The match is fixing to take place. The bell is ringing. Our attention has stepped up when I'm addressing this team this morning. As they say, they have went to another gear. Now, I want to get to the batters in this lineup. If you take your batting to the next level, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to feed the Rebels a good dose. A baseball hog mojo, and we'll get back to the College World Series. You started this season on a mission, and you just about accomplished it. Don't leave your mojo with your bats in the dugout again, because your pitching got you out of the regional. You can hit better. I want to address Mr. Kerstad, Fletcher. Let's get going, Martin. Let's get going. Kinley, let's get going. Goodhart, let's get going. Zell, the bottom of this lineup, this is the Rumble. And it's fixing to take place Saturday morning at Bomb Stadium.
Saturday.
Are you going to bring the fight?
Morning.
Because I promise you this, Rumble at the sign is as fine as this, gentlemen. A loud, thundering noise. And we've been using the Rumble terminology for decades in sports, and the Rumble's going to take place. Are you going to bring your bat? Because if you do, we're going back with a purpose to the College World Series and maybe get back to the final game. And what is your purpose? To put the College World Series title back up on the hump train and take it back to Bomb Stadium. To solidify what we already know, you're one of the best baseball programs in America. You're conductor of the Baseball Hall of Fame, Coach Van Horn. To solidify, he's one of the best coaches in the country. So, I'll leave you with this morning, gentlemen. Jackie had a great statement. They made millions off this quote. Just do it. So go do it. I'll see you Saturday at Fayetteville.
Okay, thanks, Eddie.
And thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, I was waiting for the tagline there at the end.
And thank you for taking
my call. Man.
Patrick writes it on our Facebook Live. I want Eddie from Clarksville to speak at my funeral one day. Abso-freaking-lutely.
Man.
Could you imagine? I was going to have John Neighbor speak at mine, but I think Eddie in Clarksville would be the much better eulogizer.
I could not even get close to the quality that Eddie could provide of being a eulogist.
Daryl follows that up with saying, what an embarrassing moment for radio. So I don't know. Eddie in Clarksville is a 50-50 deal.
Yep.
There is no gray.
Yep.
You either love or you hate.
Yep. I just got two tweets. One of them saying, you have to stop putting Eddie from Clarksville on the radio. The other one says, Eddie's got me fired up this morning. Exactly. Go Hogs.
And it's 50-50.
We can't win, but we can't lose either. We have Eddie. I think the music adds a little nice touch to it, too.
Yeah.
Makes it a little more epic and great. So,
the rumble. They usually say that when number 5 plays number 12 in a semifinal.
The rumble. It's the same thing.
Close. Yeah. Close.
I mean,
it is 5 versus 12.
Exactly. I mean, and I think that they put the biggest fights in the rumbles at 11 a.m. On Saturdays.
Ali, Frazier, I mean, this is almost like that. Yeah.
Jeez, kind of the same thing.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, the new beer of the summer, with a refreshing strawberry lemonade twist. Natterdays, fun for every occasion.
They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house.
But I did want to bring up a college baseball topic that's not necessarily just based with Arkansas, but just based with any other program or team across the country. And it was an interesting conversation because it's actually something I had got into some with friends of mine yesterday through text message, of just how college baseball has developed, because we've talked about it many times. It's a growing sport. If you don't believe it, just look around the SEC and see the facilities that are going up, see the crowds that are coming to these games, the attention that's being paid to, and it's not just an SEC thing. The Pac-12 has a lot of success out there as well, even some schools in the Big 12, ACC. College baseball is just growing, and it doesn't look like it's slowing down anytime soon. But the thing is that when you're a college baseball program, and for years you've had to fight with this, when you go out and you recruit, because you know the scholarship limitations, 11.7 scholarships available, and not everybody gets a full ride, all that fun stuff. But when you go out and you're recruiting, you're not just recruiting against other schools, you're recruiting against the big leagues. Because the rule is in place that if you're an elite player and you get drafted straight out of high school, which can't happen, you can make that choice to skip college baseball, don't even do anything with that, just go right into the minor leagues and work your way up through the farm system. You've seen it happen many times. In fact, most of the great elite players, especially in today's baseball, did something similar to that. But it's starting to make me wonder, with the amount of money and attention and coaching and all of that going into college baseball, is it getting to the point to where if you're an elite high school prospect in baseball and you have the choice to either try your hand in the minor league system straight out of high school or go college baseball where you're going to have to be there for 3 years and go that way, is college baseball the better avenue, the more, I don't want to say successful avenue, but an avenue that may set you up for more success once you graduate and once you go into that system as well? Because you're getting to a point where you have some great coaches. I mean, you have some great developments. You have great technologies. You have a lot of money being put into these programs.
Exactly. Where are the facilities going to be better at? Where's the travel going to be better at? The experience you're going to have, and that's the thing that I think you got to ask yourself. To me, if Dylan Kraft 10 years from now had to make this decision, and based on the amount of time he's spending playing Fortnite versus baseball, I don't think this is going to be a problem, but let's just play along with me, all right? You only get one chance to go to college in the experience. Some do it for 8 or 9 years like John Neighbors.
Some
go for 3 or 4 years. Some leave, some set themselves up for life in one way, shape, or form. To me, it's a point in your life where you learn a lot. I mean, would you do anything differently, Ty, John, either one of you, about college and how much of your life developed and changed who you are as a person from the time you arrived in Fayetteville to the time you left?
Everything changed. Everything.
I mean, and it wasn't just because you got a degree.
Right.
And it wasn't just because of, you know, the things you learned in class. It was just it was the life experience,
yeah,
right?
It was the maturity that came with it. It was the experience. Right. It was the friendships, all that.
You grew up and you got lifelong relationships with people that will be your buddies, your friends for the rest of your life. That's the one thing you got to weigh out to me if you're a... And I don't know that you always have the perspective on that at 18. You know, because, you can always go back to college, but it's not the same when you go back at 20 or 21 and start as a freshman. It's just not.
No.
That's the thing, is you miss out on the experience, the growing up, the maturing in a more secure environment. I don't know if that's secure is not the right word, but fostering environment. It's just it's an environment that's meant to make you mature, to help you. I mean, it's to foster that. They throw you into minor league baseball and you're on your own, more or less. You're an adult and you don't have the facilities like a Baum Walker Stadium. You don't have someone looking after you and making sure things are in the right order. You're still an 18-year-old kid out there riding a bus in El Paso or wherever. You know, it's hard to succeed because I don't think you have grown up enough. And I think it's hard for people to weigh all that out when someone's putting maybe six-figure money in front of you, $300,000, $400,000, whatever it is. Yeah. I get it. But that's the hard thing for, I think, a lot of these kids that are right now going to, you know, gone through the draft. Now, if you're a first or second day guy, you might have these decisions. I think if you're later on down, these like round 27, now you're going to college. But, for some of these guys, it is a hard choice because I can set myself up at 18 or 19 years old or whatever with $500,000 in the bank. Now, remember, you're going to get taxed on that. So you got to weigh all this stuff out. I think sometimes it's hard to put all that into proper perspective.
Yeah. No, because I was trying to look at all the pros and cons from both sides of it, just from the things I know.
What are you going to miss out on in life if you don't go to college when you're 18?
Yeah. And I'm not, this isn't really referring to guys like the Bryce Harpers and the Clayton Kershaws, the guys that are just like from the get-go. You're like, this guy's going to be an elite prospect and he's just going to fly through the minors.
We're not talking about the top 10 picks.
Right. We're not talking about the LeBron Jameses of baseball. We're talking about guys that have a great potential to get into the big leagues, need some development and all of that. And honestly, when I kept weighing it out, the only thing that I kept going back to from the minor leagues that can really help you out, or at least the ones that just from an outsider's perspective, is the money. Because, yeah, you're going to have to pay in college to go to play baseball. You don't get a full ride scholarship. You're going to have to pay.
Maybe a half.
But yeah, maybe a half.
Maybe.
And when you brought it up, Tommy, as far as, you know, having the travel being so much better, the facilities so much better, the technology that comes along with it, because we discussed it yesterday when we were talking about pitching in Matt Hobbs, the technology that's been developed at Arkansas to try to develop these guys. And this is something that I feel like gets lost in translation a lot of times too, especially when dealing with sports like this. The fact of the matter is you're playing for something. You get to play for something. When you go to college, when you're playing college baseball, you get to play for something. And my opinion is that winning a college World Series is light years more rewarding, more accomplishing, more everything than winning a division in minor league baseball or winning the quote-unquote World Series of minor league baseball, because most people probably aren't even going to be watching it. You're going to be playing in front of empty stands a lot of times. And then the people you will be playing in front of in baseball are probably just going to be because it's $2 beer night.
Right.
They're not coming to see you. They're coming just because it's baseball.
Remember that night they had at the Travelers where they brought back the 30th anniversary of the Texas League Champions team?
I don't.
Neither do I, because it probably didn't happen.
Yeah.
And that's the point.
But you know, I remember
you do remember when they bring back the 78 team.
Exactly.
Or whoever for the College World Series, or the 09. The 79 team for the College West, misspoke, it went 79, or the 09 team, and celebrate 40 years or celebrate
10 years.
You do remember that because they have those nights.
Mm-hmm.
I bet the Travelers has never brought back a team that, you know, went to the Texas League Championship.
Yeah.
Because no one cares.
Yeah. And it's ever changing. Like, there's players moving in and out all the time.
Right.
You just don't get used to it all. So when it comes down to all of those factors that go into it,
and maybe this is just my bias coming out because we cover college baseball more. We have the Razorback baseball team to talk about more and just loving college sports in general a lot more in this state by and large. It just seems to make the most sense to me that if I'm a big-time player where I need some development, I'm not the once-in-a-generation type talent, I need some development, I feel like college baseball could do a lot more for me at this point in time in the way that it's going, the direction it's going, than going into the minor league system. And I'm wondering if you're going to see, maybe not right now, maybe not this year, but in the coming 5, 10, 15 years, the tide start to turn where more and more and more of these big-time prospects start going to college. And maybe, just maybe, the NCAA will finally get around to allowing more scholarship opportunities.
Well, that's what Title IX
does. I know, I understand, but just if there was some way you could make it work, if it was, you know, making both sports have the same amount of scholarships or whatever it would take, but just to get to that point to where you can give full rides to most of your team, if not all of your team, because of the way it's grown and the money that's coming in from it. If you could get to that point, it would make the sport better. And I think it would make the minor league systems not go away, but it would just say, man, if I'd rather do college. College would be a better setup for me to develop my talents.
Yeah. Who do you trust your kid to become a better adult, human being, baseball player, all-around person with? Dave Van Horn or some guy that's been with the in the Pacific Coast League for 2 years?
The Utter Tuggers up in Wisconsin.
Right. And not to say they don't have good, I mean,
well, yeah, they have good
coaches,
yeah.
But, I mean, Dave Van Horn's totally invested in his kids and his program here.
Yeah.
I don't know that you get that total all-in investment in the Pacific Coast League, you know,
mm-hmm.
or the Texas League.
Yeah. And just think about it, because I know that Arkansas is not just the only one example. There's other ones, too. But just you think, and you brought up the remembrance and the memory. Like, how many people will remember Andrew Benintendi here in the state of Arkansas? He's at the Red Sox. He's doing really good. But he's going to be iconic forever. And even the guys that didn't make it, they weren't the big league type guys. You remember guys like Nick Schmidt, Jess Todd. Remember guys like Zach Cox. You remember these names. If those guys went straight to the minor leagues, I doubt anybody would even remember them or even know that they played baseball. And if
but
that
what do you do when someone throws $1 million at you?
I know. And that's the one. And again, that goes back to my original point. That's the one thing I keep coming back to of what's the only benefit
there's
of
no
going to the minor league.
There's no guarantee because you come to Arkansas or any other school to play college baseball that you're going to elevate your draft status. And if you're already in the first round, how much better can it get?
Yeah.
You know?
Can't get much better than that. But I know. I thought it was fascinating, and just the way that baseball continues to grow makes me wonder that if at some point in time start seeing a shift where the elite players, instead of going to the pros, ends up going to college baseball.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, the new beer of the summer.
Welcome in Kendall Rogers of D1Baseball.com. And Kendall, I want to start right here. Arkansas, one foul ball away from winning it all last year. We all remember the story painfully here in Arkansas for the most part. But this year, they're right back in the mix. They're in a super regional, and they got the fifth and overall seed. Are you kind of surprised that we're at this point with Arkansas and surprised about the success that Arkansas has had up to this point?
You know, I'm not surprised that they're at this point. I think I am a little surprised they're this good. I think when you look at the team coming into the season, I was pretty confident the offense is going to be good. I wasn't sure that the bottom of the lineup would be great, but, you know, I thought the top of the lineup would be good. I think the front line pitching was going to be pretty good, even though Isaiah Campbell last year was a little inconsistent. But the biggest thing for me has just been just how good this team has been top to bottom of the lineup. Jack Tinley, you know, for me, he's probably the unsung hero of this team. He's really, really stepped up this year. They're getting contributions from a lot of guys. Matt Goodhart, you know, who would have thought he would come in and put together the numbers that he has. And then on the mound, you know, Isaiah Campbell's been awesome. And, you know, Patrick Wicklander and the young arms of Connor Nolan, guys like that, they've stepped up as well. So this has been, you know, this team being good is not a surprise. The team being this elite is a little bit of a surprise, but I guess I should never doubt Dave Van Horn. So yeah. Maybe I shouldn't be that surprised.
And, you know, not to get too far down the road or looking ahead, but you look at what's coming back for next year. I mean, yeah, you're going to be missing some of these guys you just talked about, and particularly Isaiah Campbell. But, you know, next year's roster is loaded with a lot of guys from this year's team. There's a high potential for next year's team to be even better. I mean, we got to get this year's finished out in the right way. But Kendall, there's a there's a good run here. Dave Van Horn's on for 2-3, maybe 4-year stretch.
No, you're right. I think the biggest thing when you look at, you know, trying to become one of the blue bloods is the ability to do it year in and year out. And Arkansas has gotten to that point. So yeah, you're right. I mean, you look ahead to next year, you know, getting Wicklander and Nolan back, you know, guys like Ramage back. This team is set for a while, but this is gonna be a fun ride to see what these guys can do, because I have no doubt these guys can play for a national championship again.
Well, with the Super Regionals coming up this weekend against Ole Miss, that's kind of been the one where Razorback fans, when it was announced the matchups, they were, I wouldn't say concerned, but they weren't too big of fans of it, because Ole Miss has had Arkansas's numbers so far this year. But it is postseason play. It's a new year. Could Arkansas find a little redemption, and do you have them beating Ole Miss this weekend, or will it be Ole Miss's Super Regional to win?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be Arkansas. You know, actually, I kind of feel like it's the opposite of being concerned. Like, I think if you're Ole Miss, you're kind of like, man, we've beaten these guys three times, and, you know, like, at some point they're going to knock us off. And so, you know, I think when you look at earlier this year, you know, I actually covered that series, and, you know, just looking back, you know, I didn't feel like Arkansas was playing that well whenever those two teams played earlier this year. I just felt like the offense was a little in and out at times, and the weather, if you remember that weekend, was a little chilly. It was just different. And I think when you look at this weekend, obviously it's not going to be, you know, 48 degrees. I think it was the whole weekend. It's going to be much warmer than that. You know, the stakes are a little higher, and, you know, the crowd's going to be a little bit more into it. So I like Arkansas's chances. I think Ole Miss is obviously playing a great brand of baseball. It's funny that, you know, 2 weeks ago they wanted Mike Bianco fired. Now he's the best thing since sliced bread. But, you know, I do think Arkansas will take care of business this weekend. I'm actually not that concerned about it for him.
Kendall Rogers, D1 Baseball, with us here on the Morning Rush. Anything surprise you from the regionals? Obviously, Georgia being eliminated, Oregon State being ousted, UCLA had to go to the wire. What were some of the headlines that maybe raised your eyebrows heading into these final 16 teams that came out of the regional headlines?
Well, I think in terms of overall headlines, you know, it is interesting that you had so many, you know, one seeds that was three or four get knocked off in the first game or the second game. And come back to actually win their regional. And really, the Super Regionals are pretty chalky. I mean, if you look across the board, I think 12 of the 16 one seeds advanced. So a very chalky postseason, which is kind of what I expected to an extent. But I think in terms of teams, it wouldn't surprise me. I think just the combination of Florida State and Georgia. You know, Florida State was a team that down the stretch needed to win some games to even get in the tournament. You know, Georgia, on the other hand, was a team that, you know, when I saw them in Hoover, I'm thinking, like, man, these guys – can win it all because they play defense at a high level. You know, they're not ultra offensive, but they have elite pitching. And, you know, Georgia just got beat up. I mean, Florida State just dominated them the two games they played. So, to me, individually, that was the biggest surprise to me. I definitely did not see Georgia getting dominated by Florida State. And I'm not that surprised Florida State won it because we all knew they had talent. I mean, they're a top 10 team coming into the season. But to beat Georgia the way they did, that's pretty impressive. And now it sounds like, you know, Georgia's guys are pretty motivated. It sounds like Cam Shepard, their talented shortstop, actually pulled his name out of the draft and decided to return to school, and he would have been a top, you know, 6-7 round pick. So it gives you an idea of where their mindset is right now.
Yeah, it was a little surprising with Georgia, but if you look at the SEC, specifically the SEC West, like, well, all the teams are still in it. I mean, you've got Auburn, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Arkansas. It's just amazing how competitive this division is. And when you were mentioning Ole Miss and some of the fans that were wanting a change there with their head coach, I think a lot of it just has to do with they eat each other in the West, and it's all about how you perform in postseason play. But it's incredible to see how this division is still standing and just how much quality baseball there is in it.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, LSU, we talk about Ole Miss. I mean, LSU fans are all up in arms about Paul Maneri a few weeks ago. Now, you know, he gets the team, you know, the ship righted a little bit in Hoover, as usual, with LSU. And they played a really, really good brand of baseball last weekend in the regional. So, you know, things can change on a dime in college baseball. You know, I feel like, you know, you kind of mentioned the postseason being a new year. That really, it really is, honestly. Cause, I mean, you look at it, you know, like the regular season is a championship, the regional is a championship, and these elite coaches do a great job of kind of separating all these different elements of the season, and it really is a different weekend. So, you know, it's impressive. I think if somebody told me the SEC West went 17-2 over the weekend, I think the only two losses were Texas A&M and the Morgantown Regional. So that gives you an idea of just how good this league is. And, of course, Auburn, you know, I didn't mention Auburn earlier, but, you know, how about Auburn? Those guys getting contributions from players that, you know, have struggled this year. Steven Williams with that walk-off against Georgia Tech. He was a guy, if you remember, he was a freshman All-American last year and had really struggled this year. All of a sudden, guess what? He's getting big hits for him. So it's always fun to see, you know, which players rise to the occasion this kind of this time of year.
So you've gotten a chance to watch Arkansas. You mentioned you were at the SEC tournament in Hoover. If there's a thing or two that's going to keep Arkansas from advancing back to deep in Omaha and getting back to maybe the national championship series, what's one or two things you picked up on that, that Arkansas has got to improve on to make a good deep run here in the stretch?
Well, offensively, I don't see anything. You know, offensively, I love this team. You know, defensively, I think they're fine. I think the biggest thing for me, you know, is obviously Cronin in the back end. He's a commandant. You know, for the most part, he's been really good this year. But when he's fallen into some trouble, it's with his command. So that's obviously important. So I do think these will be close games. I think the other thing for me is, you know, again, it's kind of been the story all season long. But, you know, how did the two freshmen fare in a super regional? Again, we're now one step along in the process to where, okay, a regional is less stressful than a super regional. So now you're in a super regional. You're going to Omaha. You're going home. And, you know, how do those two guys handle the big stage? That'll be really interesting to me because I feel great about Isaiah Campbell. You look at just the way that he has played this year under pressure. It's been pretty remarkable when you look at the way he was at the beginning of last year. But those two freshmen for me, yeah, man, I'm not saying I'm concerned, but just always a little bit of a question mark when you're dealing with first-year guys in a situation.
You know, this is something that's also been discussed a lot in this state because there's some still games to be played for Arkansas. But just looking at this team, some people have been comparing it to last year's team, where this year's team's actually had a better regular season. Isaiah Campbell, as far as the stats go, had a better than Blaine Knight, who Blaine Knight was phenomenal. And just from what you've seen, because obviously it's about postseason play, but what you've seen this year from Arkansas and looking at them from last year, do you believe that this team could be better than what last year's team was?
No, I do think – I actually think it's better. I think the lineup's deeper. I think if you look back at last year, you know, the bottom of that lineup, you know, wasn't great. And, you know, some of the guys, you know, Goodhart, you know, they lost, you know, the Bonfields and guys like that. But I feel like, you know, Goodhart, you know, you look at the way that Kinley has hit this year, he's, you know, more consistent than a couple of those guys they lost last year. So I think the lineup's deeper. I think the bullpen is deeper. You know, obviously the weaker rotation last year I thought was a little better, but you know, two of the three major pieces are better. So I would say they're a better club right now. You know, we'll see. It's always interesting to me when you look at teams who have, you know, been unable to win the national championship. You know, I remember the, you know, Vanderbilt, for instance, their great team didn't win the national championship, and a year later, the team they didn't think was going to be as good wins it. Virginia, the same thing happened. They lose in a national championship series. The next year, the team they didn't think was going to win it wins it. So you just kind of wonder if it's kind of one of the situations this year with the Hogs.
Help, all right, let's get you out here on this. Help Arkansas fans understand two things. How Isaiah Campbell's not an all-SEC selection and how Dave Van Horn was an SEC coach of the year.
Well, you know what? On both occasions, you know, on the SEC Coach of the Year, you know, there were a lot, honestly, there are a lot of guys you could have gone with there. Van Horn would have been high on my board. I think when you look at the job that Tony Vitello did at Tennessee, and to be honest with you, I'm in such a crazy time of year, I don't even know who won Coach of the Year in the SEC, but I'm assuming it was probably Vitello. Anybody that can turn Tennessee into a two-seed in a regional gets plenty of love from me because, man, that has been a bad culture. That has been a punching bag for that league. And so I would probably lean Van Horn or Vitello. I think Tony did an awesome job there to get them in the mix. But
Corbin at Vanderbilt won it, by the way. So,
well, that's going out on a limb.
Yeah.
They were the preseason number one team.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, see, that's why I don't pay attention to the Coach of the Year award in the SEC. But
maybe SEC, we shouldn't, I mean, either, you know.
Yeah, I know, right? That's bizarre. That's pretty silly. But you know, Isaiah Campbell for me would have been a no-brainer first-team All-SEC guy. I mean, I think you looked at Isaiah, Emerson Hancock, and Ethan Small for me would have been my three guys. I just think you look at the job that he did this year to have a, you know, a low 2 ERA and be as consistent as he was with the stuff that he has. That's a no-brainer. That's pretty bad.
Kendall Rogers of D1Baseball.com. Really appreciate you hopping on with us, Kendall. It's going to be a fun weekend for you, I know. Hope we're able to catch up with you later down the road. All right, my man?
Yeah, you got it, guys. Be good, thanks.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.